awesome farmers market and the Shaw.
Sounds good. Okay, going live.
The big lake they call Gitchagumi. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy.
What is up, Wisconsin? You're listening to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM, WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw, and on 13 stations throughout the great state of Wisconsin on your civic media radio stations. We are in the rut. What does that mean, Danielle?
Oh, it means that I still have not gotten my deer.
Does it mean that you do understand that you have to sit in the woods to
hunt a deer? Sitting all weekend, but I have to work this darn job from 5 until about 5.
Why do you think, you know, I've been scouting real hard lately. The Fowl Life's coming into town next week, and we're going to be shooting episodes for the show. We're working with Travel Wisconsin right now. And we are also trying to get on the line to call in. Anya, I want to warn you ahead of time. Chad Belding is supposed to call in at 7:15.
That'd be exciting.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay, I don't know if he actually will. However, he could and should call in. I've been working with him on it all day. He's meeting with Sig Sauer in Texas right now. And I said... He said, I'm having this meeting. I said, well, throw a little flex into the mix. Say, excuse me, gentlemen, ma'am, ladies, folks who are here. I'm going to have to step out and be on a statewide radio show.
Yeah, local radio show. Support your local radio,
produced
too.
By Anastasia Esther, by the way, who does an awesome job. And thank you very much for all. I feel like people don't thank the producers enough for all the work they do behind the scenes.
Yeah, me too.
I really do.
Thank you, Anastasia.
You're all very welcome.
Bandit says thank you, too.
I really do think, I would be remiss if I didn't say that we would like to also continue Anastasia's birthday month.
Oh.
She had her birthday last week.
It's so nice when men remember that we have a birthday month.
It's a birthday month.
I'm
all about celebrating
it.
Say hey to our 5 loyal listeners from Oconomowoc, the Kennedy clan.
Those are our 5, but we have more. People say they listen to us on a regular basis.
I'm telling you, Mark Kakich, who's in studio, he said he wants me to introduce him now as from the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation. Not to always say he's past state duck calling champion, but he is the past state duck calling champion, and he blows a jargon call, and he loves it. And it's great to have him with us because we're going to talk a little bit about Travel Wisconsin, probably even before the first break and then after, like I said, depending on whether Chad calls in or not. And just when you think that Danielle doesn't get out in the woods enough because of her J-O-B, you do understand that people take off to hunt during the rut, right?
Okay, well, I'm ready for this conversation, so... I am an apprentice, right? So
right?
I need my hours in order to get my bump and pay to be a journeyman. Awesomeness. But I only have 162 hours to go.
Oh,
so
that's
next
very
year,
good.
I already told my boss and my boss's boss and the president, I'm taking off for a week and a half during the rut because I'm a journeyman and I don't need my hours.
So you're not doing that this year.
No, because I need my hours. I need to be a journeyman.
Okay.
Need to be a journeyman before the end of the year.
I can understand that. I can understand.
That's a $6 an hour raise.
That sounds good. I wish I could get a $6 an hour raise. I think I make about 30 cents an hour. So we have a unique opportunity today. We have the actual person whose land you've encroached on and become a hunter.
Ethan
Hansen is joining us.
This is proof that I do go out hunting.
You're out in your, you have permission on this, you know, smallish property, but a decent whitetail property.
Correct.
They move through there. And now all of a sudden you start seeing somebody on your game cameras. Who is it?
Oh, reverse. I saw him on the, my game cameras because I didn't know who was doing it, who was building a new stand out there. And I was like, oh, this is all fresh. It smells like I'm walking through Home Depot. And I called the landowner. I'm like, who's doing this? She's like, I have no idea. I was like,
Is this one of the cases where the landowner gave permission to multiple people and forgot they gave permission?
Exactly.
Yeah, but he's family, though.
So
Danielle blew my cover.
I did.
So you were actually hunting relatives' property, and
right.
Danielle Danielle was like, you know, Russia invading the Ukraine there. That's what was going on in the deer woods. And I cannot emphasize and tell you how coveted and what a religion deer hunting is in the state of Wisconsin. It is like getting permission for goose or ducks or turkeys is one thing, but deer land is absolutely sacred. So what did you think when all of a sudden you started seeing Danielle
like
showing up near your stand?
I got a weird text message a couple weeks ago from a girl who named Danielle. She sent me a message.
Hello.
And, hi, I'd like to work together with you on hunting. I'm like, hunting where?
Hunting what?
On your aunt's property. And I get a cell cam picture.
Okay, this is okay. It wasn't all like that right away. I got my bubbly personality in there, but I'm shaking as I'm texting everything. So I'm like,
because you're so nervous.
Nervous.
He's going to be like, get the hell out of
here.
Yes,
I thought he was going to like butt heads and be horrible. I was terrified.
But Danielle, honestly, I think everybody who meets you likes you. Come on.
Well, this is through text message. He has no idea how awesome I am.
And you know what? That's why I hate text messaging. I hate it. There's no emotion in text messaging.
Well, I call him.
You have no idea what people mean when they text. Hey, great to see you today. Well, are they saying it wasn't great to see me? Do they mean it was great to see me? Or are they making fun of me? I can't stand text messaging.
Okay, so continue.
Well, and, you know, to backtrack, my aunt is notorious for letting people on and forgetting who she let on and so forth. So, you know, it's me and another guy that hunted. The other people we never see. So it wasn't a big deal, but I thought the trail cam picture of me and my 3.5-year-old was pretty priceless. And of course, you know, she's right in the area where I'm like, that's where I kind of want to sit for the rut. That's kind of like the area I don't go into till end of October
and she's
early November.
Okay,
she's probably got Bandit with her.
But, this is what saved her.
Oh.
What saved her, I shouldn't say save her, but made me more open was the fact that I luckily had gotten my buck.
You shot a buck already?
October 15th.
Oh, yeah. It's a nice
Holy cow.
Buck.
Was it rutting or was it?
No, it was a
pre-rut. Just kind of sauntering 15, around.
No, I
tell me the story. I love hearing deer hunting.
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy story.
I don't get much of a chance. I don't get much of a chance to sit out for long hours, you know, deer hunting, during the rut, because I hunt in the morning, then I go to work, and then if I can scout,
that's his
that's
that
a
he
beauty.
Got.
Wow, just think, Danielle, you could have had that heck if you actually.
No, that was actually
in
a different property.
Yeah,
though.
He has a different property.
Okay. That was at my parents'.
Property. Now it's starting to make sense. You don't have just one property, and that's why you're not all that upset about it.
Right. Plus,
Danielle,
got the podcast.
I think you should start camping there, right near your stand.
Well, she does have a mini horse named Brownie that I keep buying stuff for because. It's mini horse.
What do you mean a mini? A Shetland pony?
Oh, my land. Yes.
Brownie needs some care. Yeah.
Why does everybody
Brownie
know what
loves
they're called?
Me. Yeah.
Because that's what miniature horses are called.
What? A Shetland pony.
Shetland or Shetland? I don't know if there's a D on it.
I don't
Package,
know.
Can you help us out on that? You don't know either. No.
She's real grumpy.
I just like mini horse better. It's just a little mini
Who's
horse.
Who's grumpy? Danielle?
No, the
Danielle
the pony.
Grumpy
I don't get near 10 feet of it. It's... scares me.
Oh, Brownie?
Yeah, she's got like this weird grunt and
I have an awesome story about Sunday when I was out.
Sunday story? See what I did right there?
That sounds delicious.
Robin Kennedy of our 5 loyal listeners loves my pun jokes. She does.
Everybody does.
Yes.
I think.
What's
up?
That's what she always says when I call her when she doesn't want to talk to me. What's up?
So I'm out Sunday hunting and it's glorious. It's perfect. And I sit in my stand and I start hearing rattles, right? I hear rattles and it's clinging. I'm like, oh, sweet, sweet. And I hear it from behind me, but they're downwind. I'm like, okay, awesome. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get it. Well, they go on for about an hour of rattling nonstop. I'm like, all right, you know what? Why not? I'm going to make this an awesome, epic hunt and I'm going to get down and stalk it. And then shoot it because I know the big open area that they're in. I know I'm going to get it. So I get down. Every time they rattle, I take another step. They rattle, I take another step. It takes me about a half hour to 45 minutes to get up this hill to this big open area. I'm like, they're going to be right there. And then they're going at it so hard. I'm like, yes, let's go.
You're actually hearing other bucks ramming into each other.
Yes.
Fighting.
It is okay. The greatest sound ever. And it gets
loud. No, it's pretty
loud.
Exciting, except when they're grunting like within 20 yards.
And these weren't like other hunters?
And then I did hear...
rattling their horns?
No, I did hear a couple grunts here and there and like rustling through the leaves. I'm like, yeah, this is it. This is totally it.
Okay.
So I get closer to the top of the hill, and the hill flattens out. And I hear them one more time.
Why are you walking and not in your stand at this
point? You did not listen to the first part of my story. Yeah, I get down like I was stalking.
Yes, okay.
And then I get to the top of the hill and I hear them. I was thinking in my head it's going to be a great muley hunt. Like I'm practicing for Wyoming or something.
If you can get close to a muley with a bow, good luck.
Okay, but then it turned out just to be Brownie and his pen sticking his head through the gates. And rattling the gates, trying to get grass. I stood up, and I had two doe blow at me, and they went past the trail camera. Two doe did. I'm like, oh,
never get down.
If you mistake Brownie for a big buck, you would not have permission on that property anymore.
No, I recorded it. And once we get, we have time, I can play my recording. It sounds like bucks.
You literally
calm
recorded
down.
Brownie rattling with at the cage?
I did.
She was hungry, huh?
Well, let's turn this baby up.
All right. Well, if you got it, we'll listen to it. We got a minute or two before the break. Was that it?
Shut up. You're so mean.
I'm the so not mean.
Okay, that didn't sound... It sounds like it.
It sounded a little bit to me like the ghost of Marley, but from...
Who's Marley?
The ghost of Marley from A Christmas Carol.
Oh, God.
Even I know that one. Come on.
I'm thinking Marley and me.
Person. I mean,
that's true.
I'm not a theater
ghost,
person.
You know A Christmas Carol? Scrooge?
Yeah, and a Scrooge.
He first gets visited by the ghost of Marley who comes in rattling his chains.
Oh, that's Marley?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I just remember the tooth
fairy. That's Scrooge's old business partner.
The crazy lady. The fairy, what's her name? What is her name?
I think you're talking about the movie Scrooge, had Bill Murray in it. I think that's what you're not actually talking about A Christmas Carol. Okay.
Okay, I have no idea.
Kekich, can you save us before the break?
I got nothing. I'm just listening.
Can you save us before the break? Hey, how exciting is it that the Fowl Life has teamed up with Travel Wisconsin? And
I think it's unprecedented, and I think it's great for Wisconsin.
I think it's fantastic. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. Here's a little Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald to bring you into the break. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. Whitefish Bay, if they put 15 more miles behind her, they might have split up or they might have capsized. They may have broke deep and took water. And all that remains is the faces and the names. The wives and the sons and the daughters. So talented. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside Danielle Fairman. You're listening to the show on 540 AM WAUK, 101 FM, The Shaw, and everywhere you get your civic media radio station throughout the state of Wisconsin.
From give us a call.
The Wisconsin Wildlife Federation.
Ooh.
It's about time.
Mark Kekich. You've been a member of the Federation for about, 54 years now?
Just a little shy of that.
How old are you? How old are you anyway,
I'm not
actually?
54.
How old are you? Are you 52?
I'm 53.
Oh, my, you 54. Are older than me.
Yeah, I am.
Wow.
Yeah, I am.
I got a little Just for Men, a little of the beard dye at home, if you want to borrow some of mine.
No,
in
now.
That is totally in.
You need a little salt and pepper.
Right. I have some salt and pepper.
Yeah, you need more salt.
Any more salt in my pepper?
It's about respect. First, you have to get
a better beard. Your beard is a little fuller than mine.
That's not right there, right? Yeah. Sorry, Becky.
We have kind of an un.
You don't have to.
Kind of an un. Well, here's the crazy thing. My hair is still black. There's no gray in the hair on my head.
I have so much gray
there, though.
Yeah. Well, there's plenty there.
Sure there is.
Yeah, I got good hair.
You have good, decent hair.
I have decent hair still. I mean, I work on it, Rogaine, morning and night. And then an infrared light helmet for 20 minutes every other day. And then I use
that explains it.
I do.
I do.
I've been working on it for 15 years. I want to have my hair.
Huh.
And I still have a respectable
travel
amount.
Travel Wisconsin. We're back.
Hey, this is unprecedented. This is absolutely huge for the listeners out there to understand what it takes. If you know folks in the outdoors, you know how disagreeable they can all be with each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can all have our opinions and we can dig our heels in and stomp and pound our fists on what should be right and what we want and what's wrong. This is an unprecedented area where different philosophies, different organizations have gotten together and made something fantastic happen across the aisles, across Democrat-Republican lines, across liberal-conservative lines. We're seeing a change in the way people are looking at food. Organic eating is really taking front and center.
Mm-hmm.
Healthy eating is, and people realize that harvesting your food is a very healthy way, organic way to eat. The Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, former Chief DNR Warden Todd Schaller, Chad Belding, National Host of the Fowl Life, Joel Clayfish, Midwest Host of the Fowl Life, got together with the Department of Tourism Wisconsin, which is, Governor Evers, a Democrat, governor's administration, Craig Trost, and talked about a cooperation between the largest waterfowl show in the world mm-hmm. and the Department of Tourism Travel Wisconsin and struck a deal.
Oh.
And now the Fowl Life is coming to Wisconsin and we are going to be working with Travel Wisconsin as the official show of Travel Wisconsin, promoting the state of Wisconsin. And I can't tell you
how excited
I am about what we're doing. Kekich, have you ever seen anything like this in your lifetime of this kind of cooperation across the aisles?
No, and not only the cooperation, but conservation and the outdoors in this state blends every color, right?
So I agree.
I think this is a great opportunity not only to showcase the state, but all the beauty that the state brings, because not every state in the union has a 12-month opportunity to enjoy some of the best outdoor recreation and just simple hiking environments that are out there to enjoy.
Yeah, and what's so exciting to me is that on this trip, we are literally not just a hunting trip. We are featuring one of my favorite things in the whole world, and that's the Munster cheese curds from Kramer's Creamery, Kramer's Dairy in Watertown, Wisconsin. Oh, if you've never tried these things,
I have never tried those.
Oh my gosh.
I love Munster.
They're made from a cheese factory in Monticello, Wisconsin, and they are sold by Kramer Cheese Factory in Watertown. Something it's been here my whole life. Grew up eating Kramer's cheese curds. Got to know them real well when I was a state representative. They're just a fantastic family. 3-4 generations of cheesemakers in Wisconsin. And so that is what we're going to be doing when the show is here. And I think with showcasing Wisconsin, even on a hunting show, is so much more than just about hunting.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think a lot of people think, oh, if you're a hunter, you're forgetting about the other things to do in Wisconsin. Wisconsin has so many things to do that hunting is just a base thing. So we're going to be talking with the Kramer cheese curds. We're going to show people how cheese curds are made. We get to interview Bill Davidson, one of the last remaining living family members of the Harley Davidson legacy.
Oh, wow.
And Harley Davidson is, that is something that's known around the world as mm-hmm. a staple of Wisconsin. I just think that this is something so exciting. I mean, what do you think of when you think of Wisconsin?
Well, I think, one, you think of the athletics. I think of the natural beauty that we have with two great lakes, the Mississippi River, Horicon Marsh, and all of the other opportunities for folks of all ages, sexes, it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
You're a man, woman, kid, old, young. There's something for you to do in Wisconsin that involves the environment.
Right? Oh, yeah. The state parks is exactly what I think of Wisconsin. And when people from other states, I'm like, oh, what do you want to do when you come here? My friend lives in the Virgin Islands. She's like, I just want to go see trees. I want to go to the park. I'm like, all right, we got that. We have trees. We have parks. And she just wants to do everything outdoors here because there's plenty of apps like that, the Travel Wisconsin app.
Well, and, you know, the other thing, I know Clayfish is going to hit on this with his crew, but the vast majority of them do not cost a penny.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to go and enjoy it, right?
Well, okay. I'm going to take a half a step back here and say they do cost money, but we prioritize in the state of Wisconsin highlighting and showcasing the wonderful conservation in the outdoors because taxpayers pay for this. We all pay for it. So use it because it's money that we're paying in our taxes and our revenues to support parks and public access. And we've got some of the largest amounts and tracts of public land of any state in the country.
Over 15,000
lakes. So use it. I mean, I think we're second only to Alaska in per capita land per person in public that's available publicly in Wisconsin.
Really?
Hawaii's got a bunch too, but we have a ton of public land here. And if you're not using those things, you're losing out.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it doesn't matter what you like to do because I've never met anybody who doesn't like looking at a beautiful sunset.
Oh, and you can still bring your darn phone out into the woods and take pictures and relive these memories too. So I know we always talk about how you need to get off your phone. You need to stay off your phone, get off social media, right? But then you can relive these moments because the best sunrises you have to be out there for.
You cannot see it. I mean, look. There's nothing, unless you live in a glass house, there is nothing you can see from your couch that is going to rival what you get to see in Wisconsin's great outdoors. I don't care if you want to hike. I don't care if you want to sit by a campfire.
What do you
want
to
go in a sideways banana, a kayak, a canoe, a boat, a trail, hunt, fish, watch the sky, and just like Tommy Shaw says, and too much time on your hands, if you've got the time on your hands, spend it in Wisconsin Outdoors. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco.
For my life from the long arm of the law. Lawman is putting end to my running and I'm so far from my
gosh,
home.
Man. I'm just telling you, Dennis DeYoung, Tommy Shaw. Oh, mama, I've seen sticks with both of those guys as the lead singer. And it's fantastic. You know, they play Watertown. Like, Dennis DeYoung plays Watertown at Riverfest. Like, he's played it like two or three times. It's awesome. You're listening to Raised in Wisco, the show all about the outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. And I believe, and sticks. And I believe that this show is also a cooking show.
Why haven't you cooked me anything? Where's the cooking?
I cooked last week.
Oh, you made that delicious cake.
To be fair, that's kosher baking. Cake. Yeah. I'm waiting for cooking as well.
She's right. You know what? I'm really mad at myself because I actually made Anya a goose pot pie to bring her for the continuation of her birthday month.
Oh.
And I forgot it at home.
Well, she had venison 2 weeks ago.
It's in the freezer. All you have to do is heat it up.
Sounds good.
I did. The good news is it is in the freezer, so I'll bring it next week.
It was excellent.
Oh, yeah. Well, we made...
Oh, no, it was.
Made a whole bunch of them at home, and Kakich, we were doing the podcast last night, and Kakich was out, and we did have a chance to have the goose pot pie, and everybody who had it loved it. And
everybody always loves your pot pies.
That is about as good as wild game gets in a pot pie.
We need you to write this down because I have
so
a video.
Easy.
You keep saying this, but I need to see what I'm doing.
Can I tell you the key of making wild game? I'm just going to tell you the key and I'll write it down for you. That's fine, Danielle. I mean, I've typed it out.
I feel like this is men trying to tell me directions.
I've had to write it down and send it to Kakich like six times because he doesn't know how to scroll back on his texts, obviously. So I've sent it to him a bunch of times and he makes it at home. And how does it turn out when you make it at home?
I don't make it at home and it always turns out great.
Well, maybe
why can't you make
maybe
it?
You should give your lovely wife a break and make it for her.
Yeah.
Because she likes to cook.
How well you she probably and likes like, watching you cook
I
too.
I like the fact that she likes to cook.
Well, she probably likes okay. it when you do it too. I'm standing up for your
don't
wife.
Get all misogynistic in here about who the kitchen and stuff because I'm I love to cook and I'm the cook at my
first
house.
First of all, I want to thank your wife for cooking the pot pie last night.
Well, I'm sure she'd be very grateful if she listened to the show.
Oh, you
she's
don't need
not,
a wink at me.
I don't think she's one
Why
of our
are you
five
winking
listeners.
At me? Hey,
the key to cooking wild game, I'm just going to tell you this. The
roux.
No, not the roux. That's a part of it, too. But the key is when you eat wild game, a lot of people miss the fact that wild game is such a lean meat. There's mm-hmm. not
this
fat marbling through it. Everybody knows that fat gives meat flavor. The fat that is running through the meat. That's why ribeyes are so popular. They have so much fat running through the meat. Marbling, right? Wild game has no marbling. So you've got to introduce a fat to it in some way. So when you cook the wild game, any wild game, which is very lean in your crock pot or in your instant pot, you fill it with water. I tell everybody, add a cup of a high temperature cooking oil to it, a cup of it. And you say, wow, that's weird. A cup of it, add a cup, then add some lemon juice. That's going to take away the gamey taste from the enzymes of the meat. And here's the key. When it's cooked in the instant pot or in the crock pot till it falls apart, take the meat out. Shred the snot out of it. Shred the heck out of it. Put it back into the stock. The stock is the liquid, the broth that is formed from the meat cooking in it. With the oil in there, with the lemon juice, garlic, and whatever flavors you like, stir the heck out of it. You will see that stock or that some people call it stock, some people call it broth. That will absorb back into the meat, giving it that slippery texture like a pulled pork because pork has got marbling in it, right? So that fat that's in there and the flavor of your stock will absorb back into the meat. That's the biggest key to cooking wild game if you're going to do it on a crock pot or in an instant pot. Ethan, do you have something to say? For heaven's sakes,
just
this is a cooking
away.
Show. You're missing
one, you're missing one key aspect to all that.
I'm excited.
And maybe you know about this.
What is
you
it?
Ever added, ever marinated like venison, goose, duck, any pheasant, especially venison, Cabernet red wine before you cook it?
Oh, I've done marinades, any type of wine. See, what you're doing, a wine is an acid, just like lemon juice or lime juice. So I tell you, a lot of people don't like diver ducks to eat. They think they taste fishy or they've got a real strong taste to them. But if you add a Cabernet or a Merlot to those, the strength of what Ethan's saying, the strength of that Cabernet or Merlot really is going to combat that oily, fishy taste in diver ducks. So I think that's a fantastic, that's great with any recipe, no doubt. I like to use lemon or lime juice instead because I think when you use lemon or lime juice, it won't interfere with some of the other flavors you're adding to it. But if you want Italian, you add oregano. If you want a Mexican dish, you add cumin to it. And that's something that's absolutely fantastic.
Or you can just take the big bad bourbon barrel cab and go sit down and not make anything and just drink wine.
Anastasia, you need to put your mic on when you're laughing.
No.
You were laughing. Anastasia got a kick out of that. And that's funny. I didn't laugh because that didn't surprise me at all that you said that.
It wasn't that it surprised me. I was focusing on other things and I wasn't ready for the recipe to end with, it's just a bottle of wine. I had been taking notes on the earlier cooking instructions. I wasn't expecting uncork and serve cold.
Yeah, right. I mean, the biggest key.
Well, it's ready. Don't serve
if
it cold.
All you need in this recipe, oil, a cup of oil, lemon juice, lime juice, wine, anything that's an acid, literally that's it. And water, that's it. And you will have an amazing meal because you can dictate where that flavor goes after that. Now, if you use a wine, it's a little harder to move that flavor into Mexican or move that flavor into Italian. And you can even move that flavor into Middle Eastern by adding curry. Whoa. which is phenomenal.
Really?
You can move that flavor anywhere you want if you just start with the two basics, oil and lemon or lime juice. I actually prefer lime juice. Becky prefers lemon. But you can have, I had this past week, we had goose lasagna. Now we just add. So what? Everybody's got their favorite seasoning salt. Mine is drop tine by the provider. The provider drop tine, I think, is just a great seasonal. But your Lowry's, your seasonal. Any basic seasonal. You can even go with just salt and pepper. Of course, I'm Italian, so I put a ton of garlic in everything I cook.
I have smokehouse maple.
Well, that sounds great. And you're not going to go wrong. But the biggest problem people have with the wild game is they have two things. It turns out dry, they say, because that lean meat, you're never going to think of what a goose does. A goose travels from Canada to maybe from the upper reaches of Canada to maybe mid-Illinois. They're flying thousands of miles. So the muscle mass that they produce, which is what we're eating, is so lean that there's literally no slippery fat in there. So you have to introduce it. If you do not, it can be bathed in that stock for hours on end. And when you cut it open, it will literally be dry in the middle. And the way to solve that is to introduce a fat or an oil to it. I used to put a stick of butter in instead of a cup of oil. Now I use healthier oils like an extra virgin olive oil. Be careful with the regular olive oils. They'll add a little bit too much of an olivey taste. But then you can literally take that and direct it where you want with whatever flavors you like and you enjoy after those two simple ingredients, lemon lime juice or wine, something with an acid, and oil, because you change the gamey taste is in the enzymes of the meat. So they're in the pH of the meat. And what destroys a pH? An acid. So once there's three ways to take gaminess taste out of meat. And I apologize if I'm taking a little long on this, but I think people are interested in cooking.
They are.
There's three ways. There's to physically destroy it, and that is grinding. You ever notice if you grind goose, grind venison into burger, it tastes just like burger you bought from the store. So physical grinding, heat over time. So that's your crock pot, your instant pot, heat over time, and then an acid. So if you employ all three of those methods, there's not anybody who eats it who's going to be able to tell that it's wild game. I promise you that. I have had people eat my wild shredded goose in Italian goose sandwiches. You know, I make Italian sandwiches like they do right in Chicago. And people say, that's the best shredded beef I ever have. And I say, well, great, because it's sky carp.
What? Okay, what's an Italian?
Italian beef sandwich is a hard roll, an Italian hard roll on the outside, okay? Sliced, and then you take the recipe that I described, but you're using a recipe that's a little heavier in oregano, salt, and pepper, and garlic. So that's infused into the meat. You sop the meat on there, and then on top of that, you saute red and yellow and orange peppers. Ooh. That's what I do, bell peppers. I don't use the green. They've got a little stronger flavor.
Yep.
But the sweeter peppers, the red, the yellow, and the orange peppers, saute them in olive oil, garlic with a dash of salt. Those go on there. And then, if I'm lucky, I got some of Grandma's. That's my mom's original homemade pasta sauce to drizzle on top of it.
Ooh. That sounds so delicious.
My mom's actually here. She comes almost every Thursday. She's not going to come in, Kakich. You can wave her in all day. She will not come on the radio. I would love it if she would. How old are you now, Mom? Am I allowed to say that on the radio?
No, you're not allowed to say that.
78. My mom's 78, and while I do think she's going to live forever, one of my biggest goals is to make sure that I can make a sauce that's even close to hers, because that is the bomb. And she perfected my grandma's sauce. My grandma was first generation American.
I've never had this sauce
from
before.
Italy. Well, I'll bring that in too. I'll bring that in too when I remember Anastasia's pot pie next week. I'll try to bring in some sauce for my mom. But that's a hint. If you could make some pasta sauce for me, Aunt Mom, I would appreciate it.
She could make it right here.
I mean, she could. It goes for like 12 hours before it's done.
No meatloaf?
It takes two days.
Oh, she makes awesome meatloaf too. Yes.
I'm kind of a meatloaf.
Meatloaf.
Guy, you know?
You're kind of a meatloaf guy?
Yeah. Just...
Like with Italian sauce on it?
Well, no, but like in general,
I like meatloaf in general. I mean, wild goose meatloaf.
That actually sounds good with
the meatloaf. I like shepherd's pie. I'm a sucker for shepherd's pie.
Yeah.
Did you know the original shepherd's pie was made with kidneys?
Ew.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
No, it's actually very good.
I've never had kidney, but I'm assuming it's disgusting. Yeah, see?
Don't be so close-minded, Daniel. My goodness.
I don't know if I can transfer it from the oil to all that technical stuff you were talking about.
Well, I don't know if you can. You have to be careful when you're eating organ meat from certain animals. Like you're really not supposed to eat. Like, I've eaten deer liver before. I like liver and
onions. I want to try the heart.
Oh, deer heart's fantastic.
Everyone keeps saying that, but I have not tried it.
Kakich, have you ever had deer heart before?
Oh, he is shaking his head. No, he has no.
You don't. Okay, this is not a visual medium. We are on the radio. You have to actually vocalize it.
Not going to happen.
Why?
Really?
What's wrong with heart?
Have you ever tried liver?
Yeah,
do you
I don't
not
like
have
it.
A heart?
Don't like I don't like
liver. I like liver, but no, I'm just going to, as a warning, because we are a cooking show that talks about the outdoors sometimes versus an outdoor show that talks about cooking. I just want to warn you, if you are going to eat organ meat of some harvested animals, make sure you research it first.
Yes.
Black bear is one of the most delicious meats I've ever tasted, but their liver is so high in, I don't remember what it is, vitamin E or something, that it really shouldn't be eaten. It's hard for your body to metabolize it. So just make sure if you are going to eat organ meat of what you harvest that you do kind of check it out ahead of time. What kind of, I mean, what do you like to
eat? I personally like sandhill crane.
Well, sandhill crane's delicious.
Yeah, I love
it. I've never had sandhill crane before.
Sandhill crane. I hunted sandhill crane in Texas, and they call it the ribeye of the sky, but I think it's actually more like the tenderloin of the sky, to be honest with you.
It's excellent.
It is absolutely like the most fine Wagyu tenderloin beef.
Is it okay? Is it comparable to speck?
Oh, speck's the best. It's comparable to speck, I think. I think speck's even better, to be honest. I mean, speckled belly goose. Now, a key. So we talked real quick, and we're going to go to the break, and then we're going to move on to another topic when we come back. But when you eat goose or wild game, the way we talked about preparing it, you're going through all those things. If you're going to eat it without crock potting it, and you're just going to eat it, you know, grilled or sauteed, the biggest key then is to not overcook it. As long as you got that lean, mean muscle mass in there, make it medium rare to medium at the most, and it'll be delicious when we come back. Why don't we talk about sandhill cranes when we come back and whether you can hunt them? This is a topic that is important to a lot of waterfowl hunters. We'll be right back.
WAUK. Listening.
Lady, when you're with me.
Why is that funny, Daniel?
No, I said, aw.
Oh, Lady, the song. Have you not heard the song,
I am,
Lady?
They're talking about me.
That's a great song. They're not talking about you, Danny. I mean, someone somewhere is probably talking about you.
Do
when
you
the song
know
Lady
why
comes on.
This is for me? Because people sing that when I burp. She's a lady.
Okay, gross. Thanks for that. I'm so glad we went there. That's awesome. Welcome back. You're listening to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw, and throughout the state of Wisconsin on your civic media stations. If you don't catch us live, you can catch us again every Saturday at 11 o'clock in the morning as part of the Sharp Cheddar Weekend. Raised in Wisco, followed by the Charlie Barron's Show and Under the Helmet, starring Gilbert Brown. And I think at some point, Anastasia has produced and worked for every single show that airs on WAUK.
Oh, I believe that. She is not all of them.
Not quite all of them yet.
Almost.
And she fills in as a host, too. So
nonstop, go, go, go.
Nonstop. Putting it in for the show. And I think, you know, to have the ability to expand throughout the state of Wisconsin is a real blessing, especially for this show. Our numbers are growing. Mm-hmm. People are listening because I'm hearing about it out there on the street.
Same.
Tell your friends. Let people know if they want a good, often goofy, very light time, but extremely informative, or they have any interest whatsoever in cooking or the great outdoors of the state of Wisconsin. Get out there and tell them to listen to Raised in Wisco with Joel and Danielle, because no matter what Joel says, Danielle will definitely laugh at it or have something to add.
I hate I'm so predictable. Add. I just love
laughing. I didn't say you were predictable. I just said that you will laugh and or have something to add. I think your sense of humor adds quite a bit to our show.
Oh, and also, when you do call, you will not hear ringing. Oh. You'll hear our station. You'll hear us talking.
So when you call, you're going to go right to the off air and hear it in your ear. Before we went to the break, we were talking about something that is very politically charged, politically motivated and charged in the state of Wisconsin. And that is the fact that so many other states now have sandhill crane hunts.
Yes.
And the state of Wisconsin does not allow the hunting of sandhill cranes. I'm going to tell, I'm just for the record, I want to put it out there so there's no conflict of interest. When I was in the legislature about 15 years ago, I introduced a bill to allow the hunting of sandhill cranes. I was literally just about crucified for doing that.
What? Why?
Well, because there's several social factors that affect sandhill crane hunting. First of all, they are a majestic bird.
They're too cute to kill. That's number one.
Yeah. Anastasia. Sure. No, she just hit it on the head. They're majestic. They're beautiful.
They're velociraptors.
They are. They have very. They definitely smack of prehistoric
yes.
nature to them. But here's the biggest political part of it. Number one, they're beautiful, and they do have a similarity to the whooping crane, which is extremely rare and is an endangered species.
Yep.
So we do have to be extremely careful, you know, about making sure if we do allow the harvest of an animal that we're not going to have incidental kills of something that we are trying to perpetuate the life of. Such as the whooping crane. Kakich, you've been involved with the Horicon Marsh for decades. You've been involved with just about every move the state has made as far as waterfowl is concerned. What do you think is it about now? We haven't even talked about the fact that the International Crane Foundation is based in Wisconsin. That's another political entity that has an influence on whether there's a crane hunt here.
Yes.
Where are we now? And what is it going to take? Will it ever happen? And are we finally going about it the right way by having so many entities getting together, crossing lines, and working together? Because right now, the sandhill crane population in Wisconsin is booming. Farmers mm-hmm. are fit to be tied. The sowing machines pick the corn out before it can ever grow. We're not talking about a turkey that's eating corn off a cob. We're talking about a crane that eats the kernel before it becomes a plant, which is devastating to the farm and agronomics in Wisconsin. Where are we? Where are we going?
Well, right now, Wisconsin boasts about half or just under half of the total eastern population of the sandhill crane, I think, last year.
So half of the eastern population.
Correct.
Is in the state of Wisconsin, going through the state of Wisconsin.
Well, it is, yeah, you can say Jeez. That. So there's just over 110,000 sandhill cranes, they estimate. And on an average year, we're right around 52,000 and 51,000 in the state. Right now, I think the fall count was right around Horicon was 10,000, just under 10,000 in Horicon. The sandhill crane presents, it's like you say, it's a very unique environment here in Wisconsin because Wisconsin requires a legislative action for a hunting season. In other states in the country, their Department of Natural Resources can institute a hunting season. So here we have to have political support from obviously both sides of the fence and all the stakeholder groups, you know, Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, including, you know, the International Crane Foundation, all have to work together and try to get at least on somewhat of the same page. The strength right now is science from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says that we have greatly surpassed a safe distance of sandhill crane population.
Of huntable numbers. Well, we talked, you know, Taylor Finger, who is the state's game bird biologist, you know, we had a great conversation with him. And here's the reality, folks. I think they're beautiful, too. I respect them. We have two in our yard right now that have adopted a goose, a gosling goose. So there's two sandhill cranes who fly into our yard with the goose. So they're a little sandhill crane goose family, and it is fantastic. Now, I'd never want to hunt them myself. Personally, it's cute. We love seeing them in the backyard. But here's the reality. The population of sandhill cranes is growing so fast that at some point soon, we're going to start seeing diseases perpetuated in the sandhill crane populations, because when you have overpopulation of any species in a somewhat confined area, even if that is an entire state, you start to see potential for diseases. You start to see the bullying of other species. We've already seen sandhill cranes mm-hmm. pushing waterfowl like geese and ducks out of a field.
Yep.
You start to see aggressive behaviors because they are territorial. At some point, it is going to be beneficial to the health of the population of the sandhill crane to have somewhat of a herd reduction, which is what we do for every other species in the state. We've got a certain amount of numbers of bucks and does we allow to be killed. Turkeys are a lottery, everything. Oh, and what, Danielle?
The show's already over.
Danielle, so that always, I'm so bummed. The show's over already, and that's how it goes.
Oh, I thought we had more time.
That's it. And it moves so quick because it's fascinating. And we're love to have you along. Thanks for making us your choice on Raised in Wisco. We'll be back next week for our pre-Thanksgiving edition.
Ooh,
come catch Danielle and me on Raised in Wisco on 540 AM WAU.